if you honestly want to be successful in life, right? Successful. My definition of success is helping others help themselves. Mm-hmm. You must suffer.
So you have a passion for fitness and the desire to start your own business. But launching a massively successful fitness business is extremely complex. The systems, operations, hiring, firing, coaching, sales, and marketing are critical to success. Where do you even start? This show will give you the answers. Here is Bedros Koulian and Bryce Henson, your hosts of the Fitness Franchise Podcast, a show dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs launch and grow successful gyms.
Welcome back, friends, to another incredible episode, as today's guest is a dear friend of mine who's a fitness expert and a Navy SEAL veteran who served on multiple tours and numerous overseas security details. He's been featured on the History Channel's The Selection, the Discovery Channel's The Ultimate Soldier Challenge, and the BBC's Ultimate Hell Week. Now, he's also the founder of Conquer, which is a leadership and team building program, and most famously known for starring in the feature film Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks, Mr. Ray Cashcare. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me, sir. I'm honored to be here.
Dude, that was quite the impressive rap sheet. We got a lot of cover today.
I feel like I'm important. I like it. Yeah, good stuff.
Well, before we dive into all the greatness that we're going to go through, give us the backstory.
Yes, sir. Well, 49 years young, Baltimore native, grew up from obviously split family home. You know, no boo-hoos, but my father was murdered when I was 11. I was in an abusive relationship with him, right? He liked to handle things the old-fashioned way with his hands. Father died at 11, moved in with my mother. A lot of anger, a lot of issues that were going on, right?
And with you or with your mom or both?
With me, you know, I think that was it was a huge impactful moment for her too, taking me on, yeah. Right? I mean, she wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
I didn't do good in school for the first couple years. I was getting a lot of fights, doing a lot of stupid stuff. I was angry, right? My dad was taken away from me, even though, you know, we had this fucked up relationship. It was my relationship with my dad, and he took that from me. You know, somebody took that from me.
Yep.
Went to high school, did pretty good. It was a jock, you know, I did a lot of sports, got along with everyone. Still just trying to find my way, right? Just, I never seemed like I'd found my calling. I did about 2 years of community college, just pissing it away. I'm not going to lie to you, right? Mm-hmm. College isn't for everyone. It's not for me. Then I started getting in a lot of trouble, doing some drugs, doing drinking, going down the wrong avenues, hanging out with the wrong people. And next thing you know, I don't know how I did it, but I ended up at a recruiter station. And
you're about like 20, 21 at the
19.
Time?
19. I was 19 at the time, and I knew I needed a change. And it's funny because I'm going to talk about this real quick. I can't remember what I had for breakfast 3 weeks ago, but I remember being 19 years old, coming back from a bar called The Crease in Towson, Maryland, rainy night in Maryland, snuck back into the house. God only knows what I was doing, drinking, right? Mm-hmm. I was probably on something, smoking pot or whatever. I look in the mirror, and this is when I decided I needed to make the change. I looked in the mirror, I didn't see me, I saw my father. I saw the abuser, I saw the drinker, I saw the drug addict, I saw, and it's not that I didn't love my dad, I just didn't want to go down that same road. And I think everything and everyone that I was hanging out with was putting me down that road of destruction. Mm-hmm. So right then and there, I made a decision that I need to make a change.
Good for you, man.
Next day, I went to the recruiter. I looked all around. Originally, I wanted to go to the Air Force. I took the ASVAB test, bombed it. Oh, God, if a train's going 90 miles an hour and one's going, I don't know. I've never been on a train. But what I did know is when I walked into the Navy recruiters, I saw this pamphlet on Navy SEALs, and I found it. You know, when you just like when I found my wife, when I found certain yep. things in your life, right? Certain ambushes, certain key moments that you will remember forever. I was like, that's it for me.
You just knew.
I knew.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even read the pamphlet. I was like, that's it. That's hardest it. Challenge in the world. That's what I wanted. Even the recruiter told me I wouldn't make it. My own mother told me I wouldn't make it. Everybody told me I wouldn't make it.
Now, at this time, though, like, how's your fitness? Are you in the gym, working out, all that? I'm curious what the feedback was.
The fitness was always, I've always been an athlete,
okay.
right, by nature. I've always been aggressive by nature. I've always been competitive by nature. I can remember when my dad was still alive, I was 5-6 years old, a girl, you know, when we used to play soccer, little kids mm-hmm. running around, she blocked me kicking a soccer ball in the goal. Mm-hmm. I ran over and kicked her. Like, that's when my dad was like, okay, you're not ready for soccer. Let's go to football. Yeah. But I've always been competitive. And I love it. And I've always, fitness has always been the key to everything. My entire success story has evolved around fitness. Everything I've done, not just physical, but mental and emotional. Right.
So then why then the recruiters looking at you and your mom and all these people are like, no, this ain't working out for you.
Or perfect.
Yeah, that's why? Great.
Because I was small. 5'7", 163 pounds. I was a little guy. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I didn't have this frame on me, but I was strong for my size. True story. 12th grade of high school, 163 pounds. I benched 315.
315?
315. I was a second in the state of Maryland. Jeez. I didn't even compete for it. I've always just been a naturally strong guy. Call it lack of skill set, call it whatever you want, but I just always have been stronger than most guys. And fitness has always been kind of my anchor, right? Mm-hmm. When things go bad, you can always go in the gym. You know, it's my steel church. I can go in there, I can train. And I haven't done anything. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about I've evolved, right, and gotten smarter. But man, I can remember, like, kids remember, like, playing at the lakes. And I remember, like, the weight sets that had the sand in them. Mm-hmm. Jack and Steel looking at pictures of, like, Schwarzenegger and stuff going, I'm going to be him. And it got me through a lot. Fitness has been the key to my success since I started. But, and here's the thing. It took me 3 years to become a SEAL because I had to pass the skills test and all this stuff. But when I went to BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition, I crushed it. I crushed it. I mean, was it easy? No, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, no. Did I think about quitting? Of course, I'm human.
Yep.
But I started with my class 200, and I finished with my class. So just to let you know the physical attributes that you need, 138 of us wanted to be Navy SEALs.
Like started?
Started.
Okay.
16 original made it.
138 to 16.
16, first time through. Now, 51 graduated our course because we have gentlemen that would break their bones and injure, you know, but I'm talking start to finish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you start 6 months later, there I was. There was me and 15 other guys. We're like, what did we do? And
so let's talk about that because BUDS is obviously like infamous, right?
Yes.
And you said 6 months?
6 months.
It's a 6 month training program.
Yes, sir.
So like walk us through what that was like.
Oh, you know, in a nutshell, I don't know how to say, it's kicking the balls. Totally. That's what it is. It's broken down. You have first, second, and third phase. First phase is the breakdown.
Okay.
Hell week is the pinnacle moment where you stay awake for 5 days straight. You get about 30 minutes of sleep. Phase two is dive phase, where you have to learn dive physics, which is just between you and I. It's long division. Okay. And you do pool comp, where they literally drown you. You have to come out of all these situations with no air underwater, right? You have to have a sequence, right? SOPs, doing things in order.
Yep.
And then third phase is demolition and explosives, and it's weapon training. And now what's so great about that is I was stationed at the regular Navy.
By the way, there's two training sites, isn't it? There's one in Virginia, one in California.
No, sir. What that is there is BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition, originally back in the day was held in Virginia.
Okay.
In the late 70s, they moved it out to California because of the weather. It's funny, as of yesterday, they actually tore down the old compound and they're building another one just about a mile south of that location. What you're hearing is there's East Coast teams and West Coast teams.
Yeah.
So the even numbered teams are in Virginia. The odd number teams are in California. Oh. And then you have one team in Hawaii, which is SDV Team 1, which is kind of my counterpart of what I did in Virginia.
You were Team 2.
I was Team 2, so I was on the East Coast. Yes, sir.
Because of even numbers.
Yes.
Interesting.
So that's how it was broken down, and that's what we did. But again, it's the fitness. It's the mindset. It's that can-do attitude. And I honestly think between you and I, all the hardships that I went through as a kid growing up made me bigger, faster, and stronger, made me a better person from the inside out. And I'll tell you, I can't remember when I picked up my first weight, but all I know is once it was up, I liked it. I liked the way it made me feel. I liked the way it made me look. Mm-hmm. It gave me confidence. I mean, because working out, right? Not only does working out give you confidence, but you're a smart man too, right? The better you take care of yourself, the longer hopefully you're going to live.
Totally.
I mean, it's a win-win.
Like everything gets better.
Everything gets everything better. Oh my God. You know, I mean, you know, I married a beautiful woman. She's in the fitness. It's contagious, you know, and not only for me, but even for my children. I love fitness. Fitness is key.
Heck yeah. So before we transition into like you being a fitness expert, let's talk a little bit more about the SEALs. Like, what, you know, you got through BUDS, okay. but then, you know, what did that experience look like? You are on the SEAL Delivery Team Vehicle 2 based in Virginia. But if you can kind of give us a 30,000 foot view of your tenure, I guess, in the SEALs.
Yeah. So 30,000 foot view is I spent most of my time underwater. So in a submersible, wet, cold, tired and hungry. Cramped up in the back of a boat moving from point A to point B. Literally, we would get in something, they call it the Black Coffin of Death. It's about a 20-foot submersible that goes about the old one.
Like a submarine?
A little submarine, but it's wet. It's not vacuum sealed. So, like, you get in, it fills up with water, and you go.
Well, how do you, like,
you have breathing apparatuses, and you have, like, a little sonar system, and it's like, it's playing a game. And there's two guys that sit in the front, four guys that sit in the back like this. And what they do is, the two drivers will go from point A to point B. They will either drop us off and we will swim in, or they will anchor the boat in about 10 foot of water. We jump out, we swim up to the surface, we sneak in, and we do whatever it is we're going to do. If we are planning things on ships to track them, personnel recovery, making things go away. You can think about that. We go do what we do. Then we pop, we come back to the water. That's what sucked about that so much. You freeze your ass off, go out and do a mission, right? Come back, and then you have to put the ship back on, pardon my language, and then freeze your ass off and go all the way back. And then you would connect with a submarine that's moving. You've been in this thing for like 6 hours. You're freezing. You're just dying. Right. And then you have to wait for the sub to go through all these procedures where they lower the water out of it. And then you get out and you climb back in and we're never seen or heard from again. And it's probably it was one of the most dangerous things that the SEALs do because everything in the water is 100 times dangerous, especially when you're putting batteries and electricity and guns. And it's Murphy's Law, right? Just waiting to explode. Yeah. And it happens. We have issues. But the one great thing I loved about being a SEAL was, no matter what happened, no matter what went wrong, we somehow still continued to complete that mission. We never stopped. And that's what I love, and that's what I continue to love about the SEALs. And then, you know, so I spent, you know, 12 years doing that, and then I moved over to the agency.
Before you go to the agency, were you all those 12 years in Virginia, or were you deployed different areas?
Oh, jeez. I have deployed. So I did four deployments overseas, and one of those was a combat tour. So we normally...
By the way, thank you, man. That's
appreciate
just respect for that.
Thank you. So, you know, I have deployed... We normally would deploy to, like, Spain and then branch off to Albania and places from that. But obviously, the war kicked off. We were... Even though we were at places where there wasn't water, we would still, as a SEAL team, go with, like, a SEAL teammate or another SEAL team to Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, you name it. We were there. Mm-hmm. Because SEALs are very... traverse, you know, we do a lot of different diversity things. We're sea, air, land. So that was so great when we had to stop tracking things, right? We used to put things on ships and places and follow them. When that died down, it's like, what's next? And, you know, we're always looking for a fight. We're always looking to defend this nation. And then it was Middle East. You know, we've done things there. We've done things. It's called Gucci and dirt. So dirt is when you're like in shitholes, right? You know, Afghanistan, Iraq. And I'll tell you, if you haven't been there, they're not the greatest places in the world. I would recommend going on a vacation there, right?
And that's why you call it the dirt.
That's why we call it dirt. But Gucci, we've been to, you know, Italy. We've been to, you know, some of the greatest places in the world. But we do a different mission there where we blend in, like where you and I may go out to dinner and we collect intel. Like the same thing that I did in the agency, in the CIA. Same thing we did there. So they use us in just multiple fashions, according to what conflict is going on, whether it's war or it's collecting data. Because nowadays, the secret is data, information, intel. That's how you win wars. It's not by pushing buttons and pulling triggers. It's by the information that you know.
Yeah. Dude, man, a lot of respect for that.
Thank you.
So I interjected. You talked about 12 years, you know, in the SEALs. Then you talked, you were transitioning before I interjected, just the agency work.
Agency work, yes, sir. So, you know, I was 12 years in the SEAL teams with Trish, you know, my wife. And we were just looking for a change. You know, like anything else, you need to evolve, grow. And I just wanted to do more, right? And I got into the agency. I did joined the CIA as a contractor. Mm-hmm. They did a horrible Taken. I did the movie Taken for a while, you know, so people can understand what that is. Moving people from point A to point B and protecting people. And I did 40 deployments with the CIA.
40?
40.
Over how long?
14 years.
Holy smokes.
So that's on average gone at least 6 months, 8 months out of the year.
Yeah.
It was not great for the family.
Yeah, I would imagine not.
And you and I know we've actually had this conversation. There was a time, and we'll get into it, where I transferred over to what I'm doing now, which we'll talk about later. But I did different things in the agency. So I worked for the CIA, but at different capacities. I was a firearms instructor over at Camp Perry for a while, where I taught Glock, right? Basic marksmanship for case officers going out doing things, protective measures, both mm-hmm. offensive and defensive for males and females. I did some driving courses where we teach people how to drive the same way, offensive, defensively, situational awareness. And then, so I did that for about a year, and then I got recruited to go do in all actuality, it was called, they did a movie called Zero Dark 30. So it's called Spagel, GSM locating. So Trish calls me a high-paid stalker. So what we do, I know,
is we love you, Trish. That's
is
awesome.
We would take cell phones, right? And just so everybody understands, cell phones bounce off of towers. And what they do is they leave what's called a footprint mm-hmm. where people go, right? Well, you know when they're resting, it goes up, it goes down, because people are creatures of habit. We have what's called POLs, pattern of lives, mm-hmm. right? How do you think we got Osama bin Laden, right? Go up, go down, and you can track them, right, over a duration of time and know their habits. True story, Bedros was the only one that has known this for years, but Rob O'Neill, mm-hmm. one of the most famous guy in the world who killed Osama bin Laden, announced on Fox about a week ago that I was actually on that mission. Which I've never told anybody that I was. But I was in a different capacity. I wasn't the SEAL that pulled the trigger. I was one of the ones that helped find him. So that was amazing. And it's like, he actually told me, he's like, hey, you know, I know him and Pete Hegseth. He goes, watch, I'm going to go on Fox. Because I have no plans to ever go back there, because I've kept it quiet mm-hmm. for years. And then it was, he announced that, and I was like, ah, what do I do now, right? So he didn't announce my full name. He just said my call sign. And I thought that was really cool. But for 10 years, I have kept that quiet. And why am I saying it now? Because I literally got bombarded by about a million people going, I didn't know that. And I was like, you weren't supposed to. But again, different line of work. The anchor to that
because
is still
fitness.
Because
you weren't in the SEALs at that point. You were in the agency.
I was in the agency. Yeah. And it's, we just, you know, you have different names. You have pseudo names, and you have this and you have that. You know, different identities and things like that. But what's so amazing, again, second career, very successful, mm-hmm. fitness. Right? The guys I work with were former, you know, Recon and CAG, Delta, SEALs, SEAL Team 6, Air Force combat controllers, all spec ops guys. Mm-hmm. And very competitive, right? Very, very aggressive guys. And we just worked, you know, and that job was you got paid for what you can do, not for what you do. So we may not do anything for 2 or 3 weeks, but then when we need to go out and do something, we have to be ready for anything. So
you get paid for what you can do, not necessarily what you do.
Yes.
Meaning like there's a lot of sitting and waiting.
A lot of sitting
However,
and waiting.
When it goes, it goes.
When it's time to drop the hammer, yeah. we drop the hammer. And yeah. not even though we're sitting and waiting, we're studying, right? Learning different languages, working out. Very competitive, you know, running, swimming. We have great facilities over mm-hmm. there. And some aren't, but we'll build gyms. And again, that's what I love about what we're doing here, what we're talking about, because people are like, was the transition from the SEAL teams to the agency hard? No. No, it wasn't. It was easy because I did the same damn thing. I just got paid more money. But I applied the same tools that made me successful in the SEAL teams that I did the agency. I always trained hard. Mm-hmm. You know, shoot, move, and communicate, right? Mm-hmm. Shoot for the stars, move with a purpose, communicate.
And because it's all still very much team focused.
Oh, everything, right?
So these are fundamental components to any team that you're operating.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, no matter what line of work you're in, whatever your business is, everybody has a team, right? And what does team stand for? Trust, effort, attitude, mission. Team care. That's what we do, right? Trust. You know, if you're a franchise owner or you're a parent or if you're anybody, trust. You got to trust yourself. Trust the process of whatever's going to happen mm-hmm. and trust in, you know, the people that you surround yourself mm-hmm. with. Number one, effort. I don't want 100%. I want everything you have, right? And I apply these rules. This was taught to me by Bedros. True story. And attitude, something I was taught by my father before he was killed, is nothing will open or close a door faster in life than a good or bad attitude.
Cool. Amen to that.
Right? Yeah. You agree? And mission. Mission is growth. And there is six forms of growth, I think, on this planet. Physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, and financial growth. Right? Financial, everybody focuses on.
Yep.
Focus on the first five and this will come.
That'll take care of itself.
That will take care of itself. I've learned that from you and that the things I'm telling you, I know you know. Because I've been taught them. And I used to think that growth was just physical, mental, emotional, and financial. Mm-mm. It's not right. And all I focused on was physical and financial. Mm-hmm. Where those other four were affecting my family. They were affecting me internally, right? Yeah, I looked great. Yeah, I was doing okay with money, but I was suffering. You have to find balance. My balance and your balance will never be the same, right? Like you and I go to the gym, you're strong at certain things, I'm strong at certain things. But together, we're unstoppable, right? Mm-hmm. Just like me and my wife. There's things that she's good at, just like you, right? I focus on my strengths, but I attack my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I don't hide from them, because for the longest time, I had an ego and I would run from those. Oh, let's just use fitness. I can't deadlift, so I wouldn't deadlift. Now, deadlift is like one of my best things because I agree. It's something that Mike Tyson says. Champions, real champions with discipline, will do what they hate and do it like they love it. They will do what they don't like. They will do what they suck at. And they will do it with passion and conviction because they know that they will get better.
Until they get good at it.
Yeah. And then once they attack, then it's like, what's next?
Yep.
Right? That's what it's about. And that's what I do. I just, what's next? What can I conquer next? Mm-hmm. That's why I have the company. What's next? And I am just consuming everything that gets in my way. Because if you honestly want to be successful in life, right? Successful. My definition of success is helping others help themselves. Mm-hmm. You must suffer. And I make myself suffer every day. I physically, mentally, emotionally push myself, right? Physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, financially. I redline myself every day. I love it.
Well, you love it because in life, you're going to suffer no matter what.
Yes.
So it's a matter of you choose to suffer on the front end or the suffering in the back end is going to be
control,
that much worse.
Yes, it's about control. I want to control as much as I can. And I can't control what's going to happen once we're done, but I can control what I'm saying right now.
Yep.
I can control the way I look and the way I feel right now,
mm-hmm.
right? I can control how I look. I can't control what's going to happen when I go outside. So I focus on what I can. And everything that I focus on is the physical, mental, and emotional. Everything else will come too. It's just those things I focus on. Be the best version of me I can be. I love it.
Love it, man. All right, so we're going to transition now from your experience mm-hmm. in the SEALs, in the agency, kind of highlighting your, you know, fitness expert prowess, mm-hmm. if you will. Kind of looking back, actually, how did you train in the SEALs teams?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what type of program, you mm-hmm. know, you were on, the regiment, and how has that evolved over the years?
Okay. In the SEAL teams, and I actually could show you a picture, I did not train smart. Not at all. I would just lift heavy weight,
okay.
run fast, swim hard. My body, I am more developed now at 49 than I was. I have a picture of myself holding Nyla, my daughter, mm-hmm. you know Nyla. At 37, I look like shit. I had a gut. My shoulders were underdeveloped. My chest was underdeveloped, but I was in great shape because I wasn't doing things right. I wouldn't listen to anybody. The biggest problem I had with fitness when I was a Navy SEAL was I had an ego, and I didn't want to listen to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
What has changed between now and then? I dropped the ego and I am a sponge. Like, I see, like, Michael Hearn, Beatrice Cooley, and you, I just ask people. Like, I will come up to people and go, excuse me, I think you have a great physique. What is your training regimen? And what I do and what I didn't do before is I believe that there was one way to do things, right? Because that's what they train you in SEAL teams. You're the best.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to work. Mm-hmm. Nothing else will. And you're brainwashed. So what do I do now? I have a toolbox. I have a toolbox in my head, and I just collect as many tools as I can. I might do a hypertrophy workout. I do my 1,000 rep workout.
Which I actually want to talk about next.
Yeah.
Can you, you know, kind of showcase the audience what this this push-up challenge is?
I will. So, push-up challenge. This was actually presented to me by another Navy SEAL. Okay. His name is Mitch Aguiar. I got to give him credit. And I give credit where credit's due.
Hey.
And he wanted to just do 1,000 push-ups. So I was like, 1,000 push-ups. Herschel Walker does 1,000 push-ups a day, 1,000 sit-ups a day. I love it. So then I try to think of things that are important to me. And there's a few things that are important to me in my life. Number one, breast cancer, because my wife's mother died of breast cancer. Number two is veteran suicide.
Yeah.
Right? And that number 22 is a small number. That's not actually the real number. It's actually much higher. But that's what we're known as. So I was like, how can I pay tribute while creating what I call the power hour of positivity, where I take it, it's about an hour and a half, where I don't care about religion. I don't care about race. I don't care about politics. I don't care about sexual identification, none of that. I just want great human beings, what I call, I have a couple, PTFO, putting the fuck out, being a better human being for 1 hour. That's all I want. So what do we do?
You do this weekly, though.
I do this weekly. Truth be told, I do 1,000 push-ups a day. I do 1,000 push-ups a day, and then on Saturday or Sunday, I always take one day off, I do the 1,320. So that comes up to 1,320 push-ups. And what I do is I have as young as 6 years old to a 63 and a 64-year-old man where they get on, and what I'll do is I'll let someone come on and do one set of 22, and this is what I tell people. Do more, do less, just do. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Ray, I can't do push-ups. Fine, do them on your knees, but that'll, I don't care what it looks like. I've been doing this for over a year. If you started with me day one and you're still with me now, you were doing more push-ups or you're doing more something. Because not only do I teach people how to do push-ups, I teach them how to do them correctly. Because if you do a push-up correctly, your shoulders and chest won't hurt. Your lats and your forearms will, or your lats and your triceps will. So I did 1,320 yesterday. And then I went and did a chest workout. People are like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like,
you're a machine.
It's not that I'm a machine. I've programmed my body, right? I've programmed my body. And I do this because it's not a physical exercise. It is a mental and emotional barrier because people put limitations on everything. Mm-hmm. You say 1,000. Like, people are like, why do you do 1,320? Well, originally I was doing 900 and something. I was like, well, anybody can do 900. But when you say 1,000, people go, I can't do 1,000. You sure? Are you sure? Because people are like, well, I can't do 1,000 perfect push-ups. There's no such thing as perfection, only progression. What I want to see is the stay-at-home mom, the out-of-shape dad, the kids start and they're like, I'm doing three on a minute. Three on a minute every minute.
Every minute.
And then guess what? A year later, I'm doing six. Because all it is, you know this, from a workout standpoint, it's time under tension, time under load.
Time under tension.
Right? You know that. Yeah. So all I do is every minute on the minute for 20 seconds, I get 22 push-ups in. Mm-hmm. Then I rest for 40 seconds. Then I do it again. I honestly can do 28. That's my max. But 22 is we started at 17. Then we moved to 18, 19, 20, 20, and we're to 22. So this is worldwide. Worldwide.
And this is live on your Instagram page.
Live on my Instagram page. And this is what I tell people. I don't care about how you look. I don't care about your form. Like, now I have young men that are training to go spec ops. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll get on them. But if the mom who's timid, who wants to get on, great job. And I tell the women, if they're 18 and older, you are strong and you are sexy. Sexy has nothing to do with it's just your whole aura. I love it. Feel confident. And I have younger women on there, you are strong and you're beautiful. Men, I say, listen, you are a king. You got this, right? Because we all, and again, I'm wearing the shirt, we are all savage servants.
What do you mean by that?
Savage servants. Our job, let's start with men. Men, our job, we always think it's to protect and destroy.
Right.
Right? It's not. I'm married, you're married. Mm-hmm. Our job is also to serve. Serve a higher calling, a higher purpose, right? So how can I do that? I can be in the best shape in my life, and then I can serve my wife and my children by doing that. I am teaching my kids to be physically fit, to be a better human being, mm-hmm. right? And you know as well as I do, let's just try this for a second. I come in for a job interview, right? For you, right? I mean, obviously, you apply for you, right? Who you are. Fitness world, would you want me to be 40 pounds overweight, or would you want to see a guy clean cut, in shape, right? Because what does that show? Discipline.
Yeah, actually everything, foundational to someone's life, right?
Discipline, exactly. So it's about discipline. When I see somebody that's fit, even more fit than me, I don't get mad. I go, wow, they got more discipline than me. I respect them.
Yeah.
Like Mike O'Hearn. Guy's had discipline since he's 13 years old.
Whew.
Love the guy. You're disciplined in what you eat. You know, it's integrity. It's the same thing I use in my TV shows and stuff. It's what you're doing when the camera's not on us that makes you the person you are. maybe you have great genetics, but I've seen you work out. You eat clean, you work out hard, and you are a powerful businessman. And you're family man. I know all about you. That is a great package. But if you start taking that physical fitness away, you might start getting more lethargic.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You might not make those crisp decisions because it has been proven helps with decision-making skills. And on a personal note, right, I mean, it can change things on a personal level with the wife. Let's I've been 20 pounds overweight before. Trish has made a few comments to me before, which I'm not going to get in here, that it has affected me to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to get in better shape.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, again, fitness is the key to everything. And my success has all been driven around that. And it's not about money. It's about, I know that when my time comes, right? When my time comes and, you know, I got to hang up the cleats because I'm off this earth. Did I do everything I can? Yeah, I mean, do I splurge? Do I eat when I? Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. But when I go in the gym, I don't lift weights. I train. I train like it's the last day on earth. Mm-hmm. I don't talk to people. I don't go to the gym and look at myself. Maybe Seal that doesn't look at himself. There's one. I don't give a shit what I look like. I just go in and train because this is my mindset. Every time I train, it's adding a second to my life. That's what I say to myself. And every time someone sees me, the better in shape I am, I think the more disciplined they're going to think I am.
Totally.
And they're going to want to know, like, what's your secret? What do you do? Right? And I tell them, my job is to serve. I am making this to serve you and to serve others. Right? And that's what I do. I do it with the work I do now. Mm-hmm. Right? Bedros wouldn't hire me if I was 30 pounds. He wouldn't. No. I know he wouldn't. You know why? No. He told me he wouldn't.
Yeah, no way.
And that's what it's about, right? I mean, the staff, everybody here, physical fitness is the key to life. If you want to live longer, if you want to feel better, now I'm not talking financial, but if you want to feel better about yourself, if you want to look better, and you want to create discipline, then start by just getting up as easy and walking 10 minutes a day, every day. What if it rains? We're waterproof. Right? We can do it. We can do it. What if it's cold? Put on a pair of boots. You can do it. And that's what I tell every single person. Because guys are like, Ray, I can't do 1,320 push-ups. Can you do two? Yes. Can you do 10? Yes. Can you do 20? Yes. You're doing better than most people because guess what? You're doing better. Someone told me I can only do 100 push-ups. Is that good? It's better than 99 to 1. Mm-hmm. You're doing great. Mm-hmm. So
let's talk about that, or I guess like the value, right? So we're talking about fitness as the foundation for your success, for your life, like everything. Your career,
yes, sir.
Currently where you are today. Our audience here are interested. They're passionate about fitness. They're interested in potentially opening a fitness business. Certainly, we're shooting this in June of 2021, so we're not out of the woods of COVID yet, but things are getting better than they were last year at least. Where do you think the industry is going? Because there's been a lot of pivot to online, which I think there's certainly value and there's a market there. But what's the value in-person group training?
Oh,
from an industry perspective.
Well, number one, where do I see the vision? I think as soon as they lift these restraints off us, I think personally, and I've seen it, people are going to have a newfound respect for these gyms and these franchises, and they're going to swarm them. I'll tell you what, when this thing's done, we've had the conversation, I want to open a franchise because I see how it's changing lives. Fit Body Bootcamp, this is saved my wife's life.
And that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about because Trish has been at bootcamp and I think just crossed her 1,000th session.
She will in August. She just crossed 900. My wife does Fit Body Bootcamp twice a day, 6 days a week, come rain, sleet, or snow. Mm-hmm. My daughter just finished 7th grade. She goes to Fit Body Bootcamp 3 times a week.
Oh, good on her.
So my point to this is where do I see franchise and where do I see gyms going? I see them just peaking. I see them taking off. I see people, look at what happened when COVID hit, everybody was buying weights, right? Usually it's like 30, 40 cents a pound. It was up to $5 a pound.
Yeah, like 10x the price.
And what's happening is they're opening up. I can speak for Fit Body Bootcamp over in Virginia. They're packed. Mm-hmm. Because people are like, oh my God, I put on this weight. I did this. Because they weren't doing anything when everything shut down.
All cooped up.
Putting on weight. Now, and what's so great about these programs, especially like I actually go to Fit Body Bootcamp and you go in there and it's quick, right? I don't want to go in the gym and talk for 3 hours. I want to get in. I want to get done. Like 26 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Now, Fitbody, we do strength, cardio training. We have three different types of programming, but you get both. In your training, you know, I would classify Fitbody as more of a circuit training style.
Yes.
In your normal workouts outside of Fitbody, how much cardio do you do? Because I'm curious, like, how you model that style.
Well, I do a lot. I do a lot of running and swimming and stuff. But I will tell you this, my body's gotten used to that. And when I know that I'm doing something and I'm breaking barriers,
yep.
26 minutes, I sweat like I'm in a sauna there. Versus I can go run 6-7 miles, I barely break a sweat. I can work out, I can do a Tabata, I can do all these crazy workouts. I don't break a sweat because my body's conditioned for that. Mm-hmm. So what do? I use things, I implement Fit Body Boot Camp to push me, right? Because I don't want to plateau out.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I have tried it all. I have tried the Fit 45. I've tried the Arch Theory. I've done the cycling. I've done everything. You know, all the courses there are, even the Rumba stuff with my wife. And best bang for the buck is with me, right? Time is money. You know that as well as I do. I mean, you run a huge company. I like to get in and get out. I say pound for pound, dollar for dollar, sweat for sweat, Fit Body Boot Camp. If I could only have to do one thing, right? Because it leans me up, but like you said, there's balance. It hits all the fashions of what you need. There is some strength training. There's cardiovascularity. We do Tabata Tuesday. I love it, right? And it's competitive, too. And what I love about it is it's not a bunch of meatheads in the gym. We have young. We have old. We have everybody. And everybody complements each other, right? And it doesn't matter. I mean, we've got...
That family feel.
It is a family feel, right? And they do a lot of cool things with it.
Speaking of family feel, like, how do you think, like, being so focused at fitness, not only working out Fit Body, but just, you know, leading a healthy, fit life in general with you and your wife has really helped your relationship?
We're very competitive, and it has helped us in a lot of aspects because, you know, wives, she gave birth to my kids, you know, weight fluctuates and this and that, you know, and when... I've noticed with my wife, when she was just going to the regular gym, it was very routine for her, right? Mm-hmm. She was coming home, how was your workout? She gets up and she's excited about it. And that kind of has a ripple effect to everything else, right? She feels better about herself. Mm-hmm. She feels sexier about herself. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's better.
I got to watch what I say here, but it has a lot of positive ripples versus negative ripples. You know, she feels better about herself. She dresses better. And what I like about the community is the theme days. You know, like, you can't go to the gym and dress up like a superhero, but like, you know, we have videos that do. I've done it with Jason Redman, you know, good friend of ours. And you can just compete, right? We're competitive, but it's fun, like his family versus my family. My wife and my daughter, and what it's doing is it creates that competitive edge. And people go, it's not good to be competitive. And I say, horseshit. Yes, it is. It's great to be competitive.
Absolutely.
Be the best at whatever you want to do. My wife and daughter, they look like they hate each other in Fit Body Boot. They're competing against each other. But when it's over with,
hugging it out.
They hug it out and they're like, you know, let's go get some brunch.
And that bonding is.
It is. And it's intoxicating and it's contagious. And what I tell people is, you know, if you want to feel better, if you want to be better, if you want to do better in life, it starts with you. Instead of bitching and pointing the fingers at all the things you don't have, start with you. And what's amazing is God or whoever has given us this canvas, right? This canvas has been 20 pounds heavier. It's been a few pounds in more shape. I control what I do with this. Is it going to happen overnight? No. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. But I'm going to constantly chip away at it. And I know I can speak for Team Care. My son, Michael, my daughter, Nyla, my wife, Tricia. Three of us go to, he doesn't go to Fit Body Boot Camp. He's on the West Coast. But we all do it, and we love it. I don't do it as my primary. I use it for, like, if I'm getting ready to do an event, I need to get my ass in shape, or I need a little kick in the ass, I go to it. And I'll do one class. I try two classes. I don't know how she does it. I can't do it. I don't have that cardiovascularity. And people are like, but you're a Navy SEAL. I can swim, and I can run, and I can row. But, like, 8-count bodybuilders and the damn hip mountain climbers and the things. Oh, my God. She kills me. She kills me. Because Savage comes in all shapes and sizes, right?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. And yeah, I've told you before, our goal in about 2 years is we actually want to open one. My wife would be great at running one.
You guys,
great.
You guys crush it.
So yeah, that's where we're at.
Oh yeah. All right, Mr. Kerr, the last big topic I want to hit. There's this little thing I've heard of called the Modern Day Night Project.
Yes, sir.
And actually, that's why you're here in the studio. We're firing up another class, actually starting live tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
So just big picture, can you tell us a little bit about what the project is, your role of it,
yes.
the experience that you provide?
The project is a 75-hour fully immersive course. It's physical, mental, and emotional training where men 21 or older, get a chance to live, eat, and train with the Navy SEAL, the Marine, the SWAT operator, the MMA fighter, and of course, Beatrice Cooley and the Empire Builder. And what we're going to do is we're going to do two things. We're going to kill the inner bitch, fear, doubts, and frustrations, and we're going to attack the toxic cognitions that men carry, demons, PTSD. And we're going to create a new civilization of men, a brotherhood of modern-day knights. And people always ask me, Ray, what is a modern-day knight?
Yeah.
If you have kids, it's as simple. It's the man you want your son to become and the only man that you would give your daughter away to. And what's so relevant, what's so great about that is it doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, what age you are. As men, we always want the same thing for our kids. We do, if we're good human beings. My role, it's 75 hours. It's held in Chino Hills, California. And it is just a kick in the ass. And what we do is we break men down and rebuild them and put them in a lifelong brotherhood of men who are creating those six forms of growth. That's what it is. Okay? My role, I'm the lead instructor. I control the pace, and Steve Eckert.
I've heard both of you guys bring the heat.
We bring the heat in different ways. Yes, we do. We do. Steve is a maniac. I'm firm but fair, right?
So firm but fair.
Firm but fair. Don't piss me off and we'll do fine. I'm a man that, same thing like when I applied for my job. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're fired.
Yeah.
If you're going to give me a piss poor attitude, you're going to be under my radar. That is not where you want to be. Mm-hmm. It's about putting out. It's about shutting up. It's about realizing that men, all men, need work. So what do? We feed off each other, right? Accountability, hold each other's feet to the fire, and we're going to be held. I don't want to be held to the standard. I want to be the new standard. That's what we're doing. As the lead instructor, my job is to facilitate that.
And what sort of breakthroughs have you seen from the guys, the men who've came through?
You know, I've seen men go home that were on the verge of getting divorces that have taken full responsibility and accountability. I'm one of them. I'll take full ownership in that. That men like to blame everybody else for their problems. Mm-hmm. They do. It's how we're wired. Mm-hmm. We build up these physical, mental, and emotional walls around us. Once we go through, Steve and I break them down, and then you get people like Steve and Aaron and Matt that go in and start rebuilding this foundation, right? Men realize that, holy shit, I am fucked up. Mm-hmm. This is my fault. Mm-hmm. And they take responsibility and ownership of it. We've saved marriages. You got a young man upstairs working right now that sells franchises. The guy's crushing it. And what we're doing is we're just making a new civilization of men that are physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and financially savvy and strong. That's all we're doing.
Well, that I wouldn't say that's all. That is needed.
That is what's needed these days. And it's amazing how weak society is right now. And I'll say it right now. Society is weak.
It is.
And we are creating, I don't want to say we're going old school, but you know, listen, I tell every single person, if you have a woman in your life, I don't care if they want or not, open a car door for her. Open a door for her. It's how it was taught. My daughter has had the car door open for her since literally I was carrying her. And I told her, the next man that you meet in your life when their time comes, he better do the same thing.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm going to do. And I will continue to do this until you or Bedros fire me.
Well, freaking awesome, man. That's you guys are making a huge impact.
Thank you.
Hats off for that. All right, Ray, this has been awesome. I still got a few minutes left with
you. Sir.
If we can transition to the lightning round, which gives our audience just, you know,
the last minute
value bombs you're going to throw your way. You up for it?
I'm up for it. Let's go.
All right. Passion. You're definitely a passion guy. We're in kindred spirits here. What would you say is one of the biggest things you're passionate about today and why?
Creating better humans. Just starting with myself. I'm passionate about wronging all my rights. And realizing that the things that I've learned in this life are not always the right way to do it. So what is my passion? Learn to earn. Earn respect, power, knowledge. That's what I'm doing, man. That's my passion.
Love it. Next up, you are in the business of giving great advice to the guys in your SEAL teams and the agency. Yep. Now with the men that are going through the project, what would you say was probably one of the best pieces of advice that you've ever received and why?
Live life to prove yourself right and not others wrong. I have been doing that for years. I've been trying to be successful, showing all the naysayers, all the haters. Oh, yeah, screw you, screw you.
I'll show you. No.
That's what it's about. It's about believing to achieve. Believe in yourself. Look in the mirror, right? Grade yourself on your four F-bombs, family, fitness, finances, and faith. Be a better human being. Do it for you. Everybody tells me, what's your why? My why is my family. No, your why is you. You want to be a better human being? Be a better you. You want to be a better father and a husband? You need to start with yourself. So that's what my advice is.
Oh, I just am reading Tim Grover's book, Winning. There's a book about being selfish.
Yep.
How you actually need to be selfish.
You do.
For what you, exactly the reason you
exactly.
just said.
Exactly. I agree.
Amen.
But and I for that standpoint, yes. But be grateful, not greedy also. Be grateful for what you have in life. Don't be greedy, but if you want it, go get it, right? Don't be jealous with it. I don't have what you have and Bezos has, but like I said, when I interviewed Bezos, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I want your job. You know what he said? Come get it.
Let's go.
That's ballsy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Habits are foundational to the success you've achieved. What's one habit that you've picked up over the years that's served you well?
Be loyal. Being loyal is a habit. I know that sounds a cliche, but be loyal. People can see through bullshit and they can see through people that are dishonest. I'm a guy that will, I'm like that with Bezos. That's why he hired me. I am not the biggest, the fastest, the strongest. I probably won't earn Bezos the most money. But I told Bezos, no one will be more loyal to you than me. And he literally said, you're hired. And I agree that loyalty will get you royalty.
Loyalty will get you royalty.
Loyalty equals royalty. It does.
Well, I'll acknowledge you for that, man. Your essence, exudes loyalty. So
it's all I have. A man is only worth his word. I honestly agree that. I think a man this day, we need to go back in the old days where this closed every deal. Now it's this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's it.
Leaders are readers, mm-hmm. and certainly we both like to continue to ingest content that's going to make us better. What would be your best book recommendation or podcast or any source of information for our audience?
Well, I know this is going to sound like a cliche, but obviously Man Up by Bezos Kulian was an amazing book that I read, and it related to me on so many levels, right? His childhood, my childhood, the success, everything that he has said I have felt or I've done or I still want to do. So get the book, Man Up, great book.
And I think the parallel there, and I'll include myself in here, is we've been able to channel the inner rage, but towards the light.
Yes, sir.
And I think, that's a huge accolade to
that
you.
That wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
I used to just...
Well, it's learning and growing.
Yes, sir.
All right, my friend, this has been incredible. One last piece of parting wisdom for our audience who are interested in fitness, interested in being better, interested in entrepreneurship and business. What would be one piece of parting advice that will better their lot in business and life in general?
Okay, your three battlefields of business, battlefield, business field, home field. Take the leap of faith. Create movement, create motion. If you want to get a franchise, get your ass up and research it, right? Pick out a good thing. If you want to get your ass in shape, get up and create movement. And if you want to surround yourself with better people, take a look at the people you're with. And if they're negative, trim the fat. But it's all about creating movement and what I call the leap of faith. I did it to come work for you guys, and I'll tell you this right now. It is the scariest thing you're ever going to do in your life, but it is going to be the most rewarding thing you do. It's just getting out of the comfort zone, right? Navy SEAL, who lives by that, I was scared to go from battlefield to business field. Bezos has been grooming me, and I'm a better human being because of it. And I'll tell you what, all the things that I've accomplished in my life mean nothing because I'm doing what I love right now. I'm not hurting people. I'm helping people.
And that you are. Ray, you are freaking amazing, man. This has been awesome. Where can our audience find you? You got a social media handle or a website?
Yeah. You can hit me up at Ray Cash Care on Instagram, or you can hit me up at Frog Mindset, Ray Cash Care, former Navy SEAL, on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm Cash Care. If you guys got any questions, comments, concerns about fitness or anything with life, hit me up, and I respond to every single comment.
Heck yes. Well, my friend, before we shoot today, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show. We've met, I think, end of 2018, seeing you on the stage, and it's been awesome seeing your journey and growth. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge you for the way you show up. Like, just sitting here today just fires me up. Your passion, your service to our country.
Thank you.
It's so heartfelt, especially after yesterday's D-Day. It brings me memories and kind of sentiments. I just want to thank you for being the guy who you are, for helping a lot of people in the process, and you've certainly made our audience better today. So for that, my friend, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, friends, I know you got a ton of value from today's episode. If you did, go ahead and please give us a like and subscribe on YouTube and write us an awesome review on iTunes. That will help us continue to be able to provide us this amazing content for free. And again, go ahead and connect with Ray on his social media sites. That's all we have for today. You guys have a fabulous day.